is a movie, an American thriller film. Okay, so let's start with The One. All right, so The One is a Netflix sci-fi series based on the novel by John Mars and created and written by Misfits creator Howard Overman, starring Hannah Weir as Rebecca, who's also in Hitman Agent 47, if you've actually watched that, and also starring our fellow Ghanaian brother Eric Koffi Abrifa as Mark, and you might remember him from Blue Story. And we've also got Dimitri Leonardis as James, Amir Al-Misri as Ben, Louise Chichimimba as Hannah, and Zoe Tapa as the police detective Kate. So The One, it's based on, I would say it's kind of if you've watched Soulmate, which we've spoken about, I think in one of our episodes. Is it episode 4 or 5? I can't remember, but one of our episodes we spoke about Soulmate. So it is a bit like Soulmate. So it's based on a company called The One, where a CEO, Rebecca, matches DNA to find the perfect match, the perfect partners. A body is discovered, which is identified as Ben, who is Rebecca's ex-roommate, and friend of both her and James, which are both of them are co-founders, among other stories that happened within matching DNA testing. Okay, so let's go to T. What did you think about this?
You guys are gonna hate me this week. It wasn't bad. It wasn't the like everyone was talking about it to some degree, and I was like, okay. Yeah, it was meh. It was meh for me. I got the concept. They tried to, in my opinion, they tried to make it different to the Soulmates by adding this added drama to it, which was quite ingenious, if that's the right word to use, in the sense of, oh, you know, this woman, she's come up and she now wants to keep herself from being tarnished, so to speak. But yeah, I don't know, it was unrealistic for me, in the sense that people really, for example, if we talk about Kofi's character when his wife went to look for his soulmate, like, really, would you really go and do that? Like,
Some women would. Now, I'm not saying I found her silly. Don't get me wrong. I was cussing her throughout. But some women would, insecurities, isn't it?
probably.
Like when you go through, when some people go through their other half's phone, they want to know more about the woman. So you do have people that will stalk the woman to just find out, oh, how is she like? What is it about? So I think
Probably.
she just got her insecurities.
I think personally for me, and I get it, maybe it's because of the gene, or but I don't believe that there's a love gene that's gonna connect you and another person. But for me, how he met, when he met his when he met, I've forgotten the lady's name, his soulmate, they is like this bang, this instant connection. And I'm thinking, so all logic is gonna go out. You're gonna look at this person and automatically you're gonna fall in love. Now, there's so
That's
many.
what it's supposed to be
But I
about,
think
though.
your point is that you meet someone who is your soulmate, like properly, but you can still meet other people. So he's met his wife, but scientifically, that is his
I
person.
get it, but then, but like they met and it was just like, what
You
the.
believe in love at first sight?
It was a bit of like a, oh my
Okay, some
God.
people do.
It was a bit of like a, and
Yeah,
then.
you know it. Do you know what? I kind of got Discovery of Witches vibes, in the sense of you saw
Okay.
these like invisible atoms in the air, and all of a sudden they're like, I can't stop looking at you, and I can't, like, it, I don't
And
know.
then meeting up in secret and then kissing and all that.
Yeah, it was just all a bit. And for me, that kiss section that you're talking about, Pete, again, it was weird because it reminded me of the Black Mirror when they were in the computer game, when the two guys met up, when they really attracted to each other. And I just thought to myself, okay, so you've kissed, now what? Do you actually like her? Do you actually not like her? Then he came home and he made love to his wife again to see whether or not he felt any different
They
to
kept visioning the other
get
ladies,
seeing the
innit?
other lady. Yeah, I don't know. My whole take on it is that it wasn't a bad mini series, or wasn't a bad series, because I think they're going to do season two. It was just all a bit weird. I didn't get the, and you guys might touch on it. I didn't get the police officer's sudden shift to being good cop now being bad cop. I didn't get the
yeah. Oh, you mean the guy?
The guy. It money. Was just, it was just so
money specific. Line of duty. Money makes. Make it can you don't he, remember he was about to have a baby
the whole time he was in it the whole he was time in it,
exactly and he's about to have a baby he was talking about his finances with his partner it was already leading there so when they showed the money and they showed him I wasn't surprised I was like mm-hmm. It makes sense because yes this woman is rich she it has all these rich, come on
because it did jump really? From one thing to another they were investigating and all of a sudden he's asked for the t-shirt and then he's been given money. That bit wasn't connected properly.
It just so like
they didn't show the back
yeah. Story. Showed the back story and I get that.
A reach a little bit.
Yeah, and I didn't get the whole I'm still trying to understand the point to the Spanish lady and this woman, other than the
Tell
fact
that,
well, That's other funny. Than the fact the Spanish lady, you know the police officer.
One that got into an accident.
She got into an accident.
Oh yeah, that was what was that got to do with anything?
I kind of feel that she's not actually her match because
no, she is. Because if you listen, they said there's a default, there's a problem that you can get two matches when it's close sibling, okay. When it's close
right,
sibling.
Right.
So I think the brother and the sister are actually her matches, but she's wow. Catching on.
This lady sounds violent. Because she was when she was cooking, she's like, if I was there, I would slap you. I think she's got a problem. I think, and that's part of the reason why she's not close with her family and she's not letting it on.
So her closeness with her family is her killing her mom.
Yeah,
had the accident. That's why she's not close.
Yeah, I think that's viable though. That's guilt.
I think there's more to it than that for me. I didn't like the way she was talking. You never met this woman before.
Yeah.
Like, if you were there, I would kill you. Do the onion. She was very authoritative.
Don't you think it's a bit of a cultural thing though?
No, I don't know.
I'm that.
Could be.
I think so, because I've heard people from different areas talk like that. It's not, it's just saying it. I don't think it was, I'm going to do it. I think it's just saying it. Even us Africa, sometimes you would say, if you're not careful, I'll slap you. But it's just you're saying it in the midst of stuff.
No, but it's just the way, I don't know. I felt, and you're right, because people do talk like that and they don't mean it, but I felt there was something slightly sinister to that. I don't know what it is. Maybe I could be reaching. I'm probably thinking way too much about what she was saying and how she was saying it, purely because they're strangers. Like, even if that was my match, would I be saying to my match, go and check the onions, otherwise I'll slap you? Like, I don't know.
But it depends on the relationship. Like, I don't know.
We didn't see their dynamics other than that as
exactly.
Well.
Exactly. And so for me, that was a bit like,
off.
But yeah, what did you think, P?
I didn't like it. I didn't like the way that it was set up in terms of the setting, like in terms of the visuals. It was very like miserable in the sense of the viewing. So you know how like in Made in Chelsea they've got the filter for the camera, that kind of. So the vibe of the whole thing initially wasn't getting me excited. Like, yeah, like so Soulmates was like inviting. It was a bit bright. It had more of like more of an inviting film feeling rather than. So for me, that already set me off of like, and then the storyline was a bit all over the place, like you said, with the one minute this is happening, one minute the policeman's a corrupt policeman, now they're, gonna kill him, shoot him, and then he never shot him. Like, it was trying to be like fake gangster, and I didn't believe the woman's storyline, I didn't believe her character, the gangster. She wasn't hard enough for me, so it just was a bit like, It was a good watch, but I don't know. I wasn't really...
I'm a bit opposite to you guys. It's not that I loved it, but I liked it because it was a bit different from Soulmate. With Soulmate, we saw the la-di-da, the product. They just showed us the product. They just showed us each couple's story. With this, it was like the backstory of a company. We never got to see that with Soulmates. We never got to see how it was made, why it was made. So that's why I like the one. And I know you guys are saying it looked very gray and grumpy, but that is sometimes that's business. It is gray and it can be dark to some extent. And for me, this was that. It was built on the death of a friend. It was built on theft. It was built on so many different things. That's why. And I feel like the reason why it feels all jumpy is because they were trying to do a lot at once. If they just stuck to the company story, it would have been a bit boring. They needed to add a bit of twist, which was, for me, was the Hannah and the couple. Yeah, I thought that was a twist for me.
That was probably the best part of the whole thing.
Yeah, I feel like they didn't need to add the police bit, but I think they wanted to add a bit more of a character, the policewoman, not just her trying to gun down this woman. And it gave her a little bit of a diverse look that whilst you're trying to gun down this woman, you're actually using her product. So what does that say of you?
Hmm.
So for me, I liked it in general. I just thought it was a different, it was an easy watch. It was something to just, it was there, like kind of thing. It was like a backstory to Soulmates for me. It wasn't just let's see what the couple being in different shows.
I think the premises are the same in the sense of there is this drug or this test or whatever you want to call it that will get you to your soulmate. But they're two different shows because I think Soulmates made you think about is this actually your soulmate when you've taken a test? Is this actually your soulmate or are you thinking it's your soulmate because you've been told it's your soulmate? Do you know what I mean?
The same with this as well, though.
Well, not really.
So someone they've told you genetically this is someone for you.
Yeah, but
it's a mind control thing because in your head, this must be, but it's lust.
But with the first episode of Soulmates, when she was curious and then chose not to, it's the same in the sense of the woman being curious and then stopping it happening and then they're meeting anyway and then they're breaking up or whatever. So it's the same show,
yeah, but
just more drama.
But if you think about Soulmates, because they had different scenarios, if you look at, for example, the suicide episode where they were going to kill each other, they were going to kill themselves because they believed their soulmates were dead, but in fact, they actually found each other. All I'm saying is that the premise and the ideas behind both shows are the same, but I think they tried to show a different message because I didn't get in the one, it wasn't thought-provoking. I didn't have any thought-provoking thoughts about, oh my gosh, would I take this test and what if I found the one? It was
a yeah.
It didn't delve into that side of it.
Exactly.
But I think that's not what they wanted to do.
And I guess that's what I'm trying to articulate by going around the houses. The shows were the same in regards to the backstory, but they showed it from different perspectives.
Yeah.
And I think that's why, for me personally, Soulmates, because they had six different stories all around the same topic and they were interested and they were talking points, that's why probably Soulmates is a bit better than the one, because the one was literally centered around this woman who really wanted to protect her business and her ego, but really she was trying,
not even her business, was it? She stole the business idea from the friend they killed and then they were trying
it was their business idea, they stole the data,
DNA data. Yeah,
also what was the connection, why were they pretending to be a couple when he was gay?
That's because she needed to be the fourth, she needed to show people that it worked, it was the starting point of her actual company. They're not matched. His match was dead,
her match is in Tenerife.
So why weren't they just saying that was her match?
Because then it will prove, then they'll ask questions like, how did you find him? When did you do the DNA testing? And it'll all come out. Remember, she stole the DNA from Ben.
Nita, yeah.
And then she did the research on herself in order to find him. So that was way before the company had started.
Right.
So if she had then brought him out when she started, they would be like,
how did you get the data? The
DNA.
So, okay. Because you can't just test different people. It's like, how did you get that data? So they run a normal data, and then they just chose this guy random because his match was actually dead. So they chose the gay guy just to make it look like, oh, look, it worked on me. This is my match, and we're happily married. But they weren't really, were they? They were happily friends, but they weren't happily married.
I feel like it wasn't gripping enough for me to be like, oh, my gosh, I want to watch this. It was like, oh, it's still on type of thing, so I have to get through it. But
I mean, it wasn't bad. Like, I would watch it for season two just to see whether they uncover that, the fact that, you know, I can't even say she's a cold-blooded killer, but she killed her.
It was obvious she killed him.
Say again?
It's so obvious she killed him because of the way she was.
Yeah, it was so obvious from the beginning.
Yeah, that wasn't like,
she killed her friend, she killed her lover's brother, she was going to shoot her best friend, but she didn't.
She didn't kill her lover's brother, but she did. Second hand.
He let him die.
But
who is the person that stabbed her
man? The guy that's been affected by the one, because his wife left him for her one, and he wasn't able to get to see his kids because he was lashing out at the company. Right, it's basically a little bit like, I care a lot. It's basically like I Care a Lot, basically. The person that affects the most will come back and hunt you down.
Yeah.
But yeah. So out of 10, what do you guys give it?
4.5, 5.
Yeah.
Wow.
I don't know if it's a 5, but about 4.
I give it, I think a 5. I give it a strong 5.
I mean, I don't know if I would be excited to watch the next season. It's not left me wanting more type of thing. It was okay.
It's one of them cooking, I'll watch it when I'm cooking.
Let me cook, clean, yeah, everything, but watch it.
If I miss episode 2, I'm not bothered.
Yeah. That's basically what happened at one point. I was like, I can't, because I had to keep going back. And I was like, well, let's just continue and see what happens.
So, yeah.
Antebellum. Which is an American thriller film written and directed by Gerard Bush and Christopher Renz. I watched this on Sky Movies, and it's starring Janelle Monáe as Veronica / Eden, which most of us know as a singer-songwriter, and we've known her for some incredible hits, but we've also known her on TV as well. She's been in Homecoming, Hidden Figures, Moonlight, and Harriet. It's also starring, I'll try my best to say this right, Gabori Sidibe as Dawn. You guys might know her in Empire. And we also have Eden's husband, Marcus Richardson, who plays Nick. And you might know him in Dear White People, the series on Netflix. Gina Malone as Elizabeth. You may know her in Hunger Games. Kirsty Clemons as Julia. Jack Huston as Captain Jasper. And Tongai Chirisi as Ellie, or Professor Tarase. So in this movie, you follow a successful author, Veronica, who finds herself trapped in a horrifying reality. So as it starts off, we see Eden, which is played by Janelle Monáe, on a plantation where slaves are owned by soldiers. And it starts off where you see the wife of Ellie, who's another slave, being murdered and burnt because he tried to run away. A new batch of slaves come in, and Julia is placed under Eden's care. After being raped several times by the general, Eden hears a phone ring, which switches on to the modern times where the phone also rings. And we see Veronica, who's also played by Janelle Monáe, wake up. And it goes from there. So what did you guys think about Antebellum?
I really liked it. Initially, I was like, oh, I avoid watching anything to do with slavery in black films because I hate how it makes me feel, and I feel like it just keeps us held back type of thing. So when I was watching it initially, I was like, it was kind of distressing me when he shot her holding the man back, all that stuff. But what made my head a bit like, huh, when she was running away and she had the nose ring piercing, I was like, that's modern. But obviously I didn't think of anything of it until I started watching it a bit more. So as I was getting into it, and then the switch from when the phone rang, I was like, how's the phone ringing back in whatever times that was? And then that mail, I was like, oh, that caught my interest to want to watch it and see what happens. So my thing is, I wanted to understand and maybe get your guys' opinion, is was the beginning what was actually happening to her?
Yeah.
When she got kidnapped?
Yeah.
Right, okay.
But the phone ringing when she woke up was actually a flashback. But the way it was set up, right, it made it
the
look,
day it happened. Yeah. Right, okay, cool.
When it did that, it made it look as if, ooh, is it two people living two different lives? That's what I thought initially. I thought, ooh, because from working from the trailer, I thought it was something horror. She's like, her spirit has been moved into another body.
That's what I thought.
That's what I thought. But yes, carry on.
Yeah, so no. And then as it went on, I was like, this is so, like, I'm so happy that it's not what I thought it was. And this is so good. Like, I don't know. No, I really appreciate the fact that it wasn't centered around that, and I appreciate that it was about what times we're in now and in trying to get equality for black people and stuff. So it was very well written, very well acted, very well put together. So I really, really enjoyed it for what it was.
Please laugh.
You
I mean, tea.
You're sitting like an auntie, like,
But you won't say.
She didn't enjoy it.
I didn't enjoy it.
What?
I say that because, have you guys seen The Village?
No.
There's a film called The Village by M. Sham Malai. I can't say pronounce his surname, that's really bad, but he's a very well-known director. You've seen many of his films. But The Village is pretty much, is this film, is about, but is about Normans. So there's a group of people that live far away, and they live this Norman life, and then but they're not allowed to cross. Normans, they're Normans. And so they're not allowed to cross a barrier, because once they cross a barrier, then they get in, they're actually in like the ninth, they're actually in modern day. So they're living alongside us, but they're in the forest somewhere that we don't know. And
isn't that Amish? Isn't that like the Amish?
That's what I thought.
Yeah, but
that's what they do realistically.
That's what they do realistically. But these people are actually, they don't know about the outside world apart from a couple of other people that know about it. So anyone that tries to cross the border gets in trouble, which is similar to what
this was.
Antebellum was, to a degree, although they did it in a way where it's like, you're my slave and you're the slave.
So is that why you didn't enjoy it, because it's just like the village?
No, I didn't
enjoy it. As a film on its own.
I guess two things. I didn't enjoy it because I felt it was a bit mishmash. I didn't understand. There's certain things for me, and again, I'm probably looking at it too deeply. When she got into the car, when you get an Uber, the first thing, you don't just see the car and just get into the car. I was thinking, would you not check? I was thinking.
But that was her Uber, though. That was her actual Uber, because the friend checked. She was holding her phone, and she goes, "Is that an Uber?" She goes,
"That's me." Because the woman called her, it's like, "I'm here at the hotel. Where are you?"
So that's not that was her friend was drunk. Anyway, little things like that just. That I didn't get.
You would be more aware.
First. I didn't get
all the time, you know. There are.
I don't know about you.
I am like,
not me. No, I'm saying me personally, yes. But there have been stories of girls, people being on a night out, a bit drunk, not thinking clearly, relying on a friend.
But that's beside the point. Yeah. That was just the things that I was looking at. I didn't get the little girl in the lift because I thought, was she a ghost? Was she real? Then I thought maybe
she was real.
The little girl was the daughter of the gingerhead lady trying to scare her, and I was just like, okay, but what I didn't get was what was this? Was it horror? Was it real? Like, again, I was just like, this little girl is coming to the lift, which would scare me.
That's what I said. Doll. I said to her, like, I wouldn't. She's going. I see her. I'm out. I'm out.
I'll be like, where's your mum? Like my head would just be like, nah, I can't.
That's the thing, that's us. Because maybe we watch, for me, especially because I think I watch a lot of these type of things, automatically a pale white girl in an old school outfit, even standing in front of the lift, I'm out.
That's what I'm saying. I don't know. Yeah. I watched it and the beginning part, similar to what Paulina's saying, I was like, I can't do, I'm not trying to do with no slavery, you know, it was just like, nah. And then when the phone rang in the plantation, I was like, hold on. Yeah. I didn't even realize the lady with the nose ring. I didn't realize that. I didn't see that.
They zoomed on her whole face and you just saw
the nose. I don't know what I was looking at. I don't know what I was looking
at. But that's the thing, they were planting little things for you to actually see, but you didn't see.
Like, how can that be? That wasn't, I know that's a traditional thing, but it wouldn't be like a small jewelry.
Yeah, you would never get the nose ring. I don't know. I just, it wasn't a bad movie. It's not something that I'm going to be like, oh guys, you need to watch this film. Do you know what I mean? It was just like, it was like a Columbo for me. It was just like a Saturday movie. Like, let me just sit down and watch it. I don't know what it was about the film. There were so many little things about it that I just didn't ring out to me. Do not get me wrong. Like, racism's everywhere, but the concierge, the attitude that the concierge gave to that lady, unless she was working alongside the gingerhead lady.
You come across those people all the time.
I've come across those people. I have.
And then I check my tone. I match my tone with theirs, and then they kind of.
I have. And you could blatantly tell, like the ones I've experienced, in none of your hotel concierge. Sorry?
Hospitality.
Hospitality is the worst place.
Yeah. Yeah,
especially if it's somewhere stush and you're coming to stay.
If it's somewhere stush and you're about to spend, I have had that attitude before.
Yeah,
I have been met with that attitude
in a club, but I've gone to nice hotels, nice restaurants. I'm not saying it doesn't exist.
You just have a trick.
I just felt that this lady's attitude in the film, and maybe it was exaggerated, it was a bit too much for me. I don't know.
I think it might be hard for you to say, though, because this is people. This is in America. This is in Louisiana.
Right.
This is where these things happen. So people even get worse than this sometimes there.
They kept doing the little isms with, I forgot the girl. She's from, where is she from again? Even with her, she would be like, she was always checking, like, you're not sitting us at this table, or bye Becky. They had back and forth, so it was from a black person's perspective and a white person's perspective, if that makes sense. So I think they had all of those for that purpose.
Maybe that was because, you know, they're trying to highlight racism and subtle racism in America and everything else. I don't know, it wasn't a bad movie. It's just not something that I'm going to be raving about. The acting, again, like Jabari's, Gabori's acting was a bit, again, for me. She could be that friend, but like, if I went to a restaurant, I don't, like, for me personally, again, she might be that ratchet friend. I have ratchet friends, but none of my friends are that ratchet that, like, when we go out and they don't like something, they're going to be like,
there are ratchet people there.
You ain't sitting at me at that table. It would be like, can we please be moved? This table's not acceptable. And we'd say it in a nice way. Again, I'm probably looking at it from my standard and the people I hang around with and how I behave. But when white people, or not even white people, but when people in general treat me with subtle disrespect, I kill you with kindness, but I'm not going to be made of a mug to the point where you've taken it to another level. Do you know what I mean? So when she was like, nah, Becky, we ain't seen at this table, like, unless it's an American thing, for me,
I don't think it's just an American thing. You do get people like that even here.
I haven't come across people like that.
Talia, have you been around every single black person in the UK?
I've got a few cousins who can be like that, and it's like, that's what I'm saying.
Not saying that there are not people out there, but if you have, it's almost like saying I don't like chocolate ice cream without tasting it. I haven't tasted it. I haven't been around people like that to know whether they're, not to say they're not people like that, to for it to be a norm for me. Does that make any sense? So when I was watching it, I was thinking, all right, there was a better way she could have handled that situation.
Of course.
I kind of enjoyed that. America.
Say that again.
I kind of enjoyed those little thing, like little isms with her.
It annoyed me because I just felt that it was extra. And I don't know whether it was extra on, I don't know if they did that on purpose or whether they just wanted her to be extra because she's...
They wanted her to be the ratchet friend. There's always the ratchet friend in groups of things on holiday. There's always that one. Look at Girls Trip. Tiffany Haddish was a bit like that in Girls Trip. She wasn't all the way rude to people, but she was out there in ratchet. That's what I'm saying. It's that friend that's always like that.
I think in this context of the film, with the times that we're in, it was more of a like, okay, now it's like, we now have a voice, so I'm gonna treat you like this because now I can. I think it was more kind of that angle of it than it being her character as well. I feel like it was a bit of a play on Black Lives Matter.
The power of authority, or I can do
it. Black Lives Matter-ish, I think. More of like I think it was a tiny bit, because from the moment she came on screen and the white woman's there, doing the Pilates or yoga, she didn't acknowledge her. I was like, hi, bye.
I didn't get that. And this is
That bit was that bit.
Some people can be like that.
Some people, I don't think her character is reflective of all people, but there are people her. Definitely. And that's what, like, the characters are, isn't it? Like, there's not all people that are like Janelle Monáe in the sense, Eden or Veronica in the sense of her getting into the cab, but there are people that do that. So that's what I'm saying. It's not. When I was watching it, I wasn't seeing it as what I would do. I was more seeing it as this is a good twist to highlight slavery, but not highlight slavery, if that makes sense. It's just highlighting racism in a different way, that there are people that do this. Generally, let's put race aside, for a minute. There are people that kidnap people and put them in a certain boundary where you have sex slaves, you have all these type of slavery. So I like that it is actually, in a way, indirectly highlighting those things, that there are people that are being kidnapped for the sense of some form of slavery. So I like that. And I like that it wasn't as predictable as you would think, because when the phone rang and it switched, I thought when she took off her top and was going into the bathroom, I was like, yeah, she's going to have a tattoo there, her spirit moving from what, like, you couldn't, you didn't know what was coming, and it was keeping me watching. I know it was a bit all over the place, but at the end of it, you understand how everything happened, and it makes all the sense.
It all makes sense.
Afterwards, yeah, I don't think it that's was what I like about place. It.
I don't think it was all over the place. I think certain things just didn't make sense for me, like the little girl being there. Because at one point I thought, was she a ghost? Was she? Who
don't
was
forget,
she?
But don't forget, the woman was already in the hotel because she got into her room. So it's not, they were doing little things like.
I didn't click about the little girl until I started thinking who was the little girl, and then I remembered when they had the conversation on the Zoom or Skype chat. She said, "Oh, I've got a daughter your age. She would be." And I thought, "Oh, maybe this girl is that little girl.
Is her daughter?" Yeah, I didn't realize till later as well.
No, I got it because they kept planting seeds with the cotton picking. The flowers were cotton. The note on the thing, all of those things were linking to create the story that these people are sinister. There's something more to what
they just loved playing with her. I don't think there was anything else to the little girl. They just loved playing with her mind. Yeah, because it starts making you feel a bit crazy before they capture you. So you're already in that mindset of something crazy is going on. So you kind of get into a victim zone by the time you're actually even in the plantation.
Don't forget, if she's having flashbacks, and this is what she happened before she got kidnapped, she's now back in the cabin wherever she is, piecing all the little signs she missed together, which is what we're seeing on the film. So it's making sense to us as we're watching it, but to her, she's like, oh my God, that little girl in the lift. Oh my God, the flowers weren't from my husband. Oh my God, this, that, and the other. So all of the things were us going through her thought process as well. I think that's what that part of it was.
Because the only thing I'll say I didn't 100% like, I guess all films can do this, it plants seeds.
Exactly.
And my thing was, I know people might say I'm far-fetched or whatever, but
I know exactly what you're
saying. There's constant, like lately, I know someone posted something about a lot of, not just black, a lot of people of different races going missing. So Hispanics, blacks, a lot of them are going missing at the moment in America, and no one can find them. And in my head, I'm like,
I wouldn't be surprised.
Is this happening?
You know, at the end where it's at the FBI, I thought they were coming to say it's a true story. I was like, did this actually happen?
Me too, because I can see it happening though, because America is so big. These things can happen. People live quietly in certain places. You have the Amish, you have all these other little cults that live everywhere and in secret. So in my head, I'm like, people could actually do this and find people on the road to open their own little, like, and
that's why,
in a way, there is some slavery in context. If you look at other companies and all these things, it does happen in other countries. Like, it does happen. So it's scary. It was a scary reality to me that I was just like, this could actually happen to people.
I think it is happening. Why would these people that are so strongly like, we're Americans or all this, that, and the other, and the Confederate flag, those people really believe in their own crap. So
but they would never take someone that's forefront like Eden in our world.
No, they wouldn't.
Like, they'll never, because they won't be able to get away with
it.
That's why they take the homeless people and people that have no other families. And look at I Care A Lot, it's the same thing. We know it's probably happening.
But even like, I feel like it's happening, but it's intertwined with police, it's intertwined with the government.
Yeah, so that's why
it's able to happen.
Many people involved.
Yeah, so that's why it will never be uncovered, because then it's going to be like, oh my
God. That's my second other thing about this movie at the end, and I had a little problem with it, because I was just like, if it's in a quiet space in Louisiana, behind a reenactment of whatever, aren't the people around there already in on it? So when she called 911 and said, I was like, how did FBI get there that quick, firstly? Secondly, so she was riding the horse in slow motion, yeah, and she had fights and stuff. Are you telling me the FBI, I guess they could get there, but I'm just saying,
I didn't get as well. When she was riding the horse, was there a war going on? What was happening?
Yeah, reenactment.
They were reenacting a war.
They were like, what's actually happening?
But I guess from where...
Some of them knew, though, so that's what I didn't
understand. I don't... yeah, so you could be right, Sharifa, some of them knew, but I think where there's a boundary, because you know the people that were actually chasing her, they stopped.
Yeah, yeah.
And then she continued on. So I
guess that's some knew.
Yeah, so some knew. So I guess the boundaries of where the actors act for the reenactment of this war only go so far. So when she was running in slow motion, she was for me, she was looking around at her surroundings thinking,
and is no one gonna stop?
There's war going on, there are bullets flying, but I'm not getting hit. No one is actually taking any real notice of me. What the hell is going on?
The tourists were taking pictures. They thought it was part of the act.
Exactly, and then they thought it was part of the act. I think the FBI scene isn't part, well, I don't believe.
The police came.
Yeah, but I don't believe that's all. The police came first and then the FBI. I don't think the FBI bit is all in the same day because she gave the location to her husband.
But that's what I'm saying. Okay, so the location to the husband, so the FBI came later, cool. Didn't the police, in that local police, right, if you're going to run something big like that, wouldn't you get some of the police involved? Does that make sense to you?
Because I feel like they didn't believe her, so they had to go and see, and then it's like,
No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying the people,
the villains.
The plantation, the villains, yeah, right? Wouldn't they have gotten some police involved? But because she had already sent her location, the FBI would have come anyway. But what I'm trying to say is, the police came straight away and she was put, like, all these little things. I'm like, wouldn't they have already gone, quickly tried to pack up, all these little things?
No.
Because
it was done in the night. And when would they have had the time to do all of that when it was literally in the set of sunrise? So it started off night.
Well, then she cremated all the bad ones. I was clapping so hard.
We're going so far-fetched, but like, she actually killed people. So
You would kill people. Are you going to go and give them a hug? You've not seen your children. You've treated you like a slave.
You would murder everyone. You cremate as well.
Let me land. I'm not saying that she killed people and why did she kill people, but she killed these people. Surely there would have been some sort of investigation, and surely
it's self-defense.
It's not self-defense. Those two men, I'm sorry, those
they
two men,
she
lured them in.
Not the two.
I would have done the same.
The first guy, he was beating her up and killed him.
Remember that the captain, when she had the fire.
That one was straight up murder.
There were two guys that were running, right? All you saw was the captain's face. And he's
that's all I saw.
And you doing out? And she said, no, sir, he's been hurt. But then
I didn't see the other guy.
He ran straight into it. But that's what I didn't get.
My friend, they would have killed her.
I'm glad. Listen, you guys are.
No, I hear what you're saying.
I'm picking holes at this from a reality based point of view. Whether you like it or not, they didn't do anything to her. Let me land, guys. Please let me land with your eyes.
They whipped her. They branded her.
Let me land. At that point where she was holding the torch. Those two men had it, yes, throughout the whole process, they had done something to her, yeah?
Because people, they know.
Let me give you another analogy. God forbid it happens to any of us. Your boyfriend beats you up, yeah? On a good day, you guys are watching TV, then you go and you get a knife and you stab him. You cannot
not say, in the moment. Unless you feel fear for your life, though.
This is what I'm
saying. Oh, you remembered.
No, that's two different things. No.
Because you can still fear for your life at any point.
What I'm trying to say is those are two different scenarios. Of course, with that one is different. Wait, let me just say this, right? With this situation, she's been in fear of her life from the time she was there, right? Please. This has already happened. Listen, she's already killed the captain that's been raping her. She's already put him in there. Right? She's not supposed to be outside. She's now standing outside with a torch. They've come to her saying, what are you doing outside? Obviously, they're going to find his body there. They're going to kill her. So what are you going to do? You're fearful.
Why couldn't she lock
them? They will get out and capture her.
How they get out? They need to call for someone to come and get her.
They'll catch her. They'll still catch her.
That's why she had to bolt them in.
No, guys, I am not... Okay.
You would kill anyone who's...
All I'm trying to say is, at some point, if this was reality... she would have probably got done for killing those people.
I don't think she would have.
I don't think it would be self-defense.
Given the circumstances.
I think it would be self-defense.
Given the circumstances, I don't think, I think it is, in my opinion, if we're talking about America now, yeah? We're talking about America. There's a video of George Floyd being murdered, in our opinion. The man is on his neck for 9 minutes. They're going to court. They're doing a whole investigation on this. If this was real life, you're trying to say this black woman that has been captured,
who would have
been free, she set them alight on
The reason why I'm saying that is because look at the situation surrounding it. She's been kidnapped for how long, right? Listen, she's been kidnapped for how long? All of these things that she can say easily happened to her. This happened to me, this happened to me, this happened to me. Things that are true, things that are not true. She's a famous, remember, she's a big, not even lie. I'm just saying.
I decided to set them on fire.
Yeah, because I was fearful for my life. I don't personally think.
So if she shut the door and left them there to survive, for them to then catch up to her and be killed, she would have, like, that's why she instinctively thought, let me kill them, then I'm going to have more of a chance of getting away. Because people were still coming to chase her on horses.
I get what he's saying. I get it as well.
I get it.
Possibly, in reality.
I didn't say she would go to prison. All I'm saying that I don't think she would have been waking up nicely in her bed.
We never saw that, though.
But in the... You were saying that it's a flashback. When she woke up with the phone, it was a flashback, right? So are we not presuming that everything that happened is a flashback? No.
She was having a flashback of her real life, of her life.
She comes
when
back
she's in the slave plantation. Whenever she closed her eyes,
her real life was a flashback.
Do you remember she had carved her, a child and her husband, which turned out to be her child and her husband. So when she was doing all the creaking of the floors, that was now. So then they flash back to the now, and then he was like, "When are we going to escape? When are we going to escape?" And that was happening at the beginning. Sorry, and she was like, "Not yet."
I took the flashbacks. I thought when she woke up with her husband, that was a flashback.
It's the other way around. So her escaping and the horse is actually the end. She finally got away, yeah. So she was just saying her story while she was on the plantation.
Yeah, she her
waking up with her husband was a flashback.
Yeah, that's what she was saying.
Yeah.
The other way around.
But I like it.
You like it more now that you realise that's not the case?
No, it's not that I didn't like. It's a 4 out of 10 for me.
Say again.
It's a 4 out of 10 for me.
I think it's about a 6 out of 10. I'd
say strong 8, 9 for me because it made a change from not a typical slavery film where I'm leaving angry and frustrated.
But were you not still angry and frustrated?
No, because it was like, oh my god, no, because obviously it's unrealistic scenario. Whereas where I'm watching slavery shows, this is actually what happened. But in this scenario, that was not necessarily going to be the outcome. She would have been killed by the white people with the Confederate flags if she just
gets. Isn't that what happens in slavery?
I mean, in the sense of when it came, because it became back to reality of us and today and being in the modern world. That's why it took me away from being upset and like down in the dumps about another slavery film.
I was still upset,
but it just took me back in. It just brought me back to, okay, I know we're not there anymore, that's what we experienced, but it just brought me back. We're not picking cotton, that's what I mean, and we're not in that time. So when it came back to a bit of normality in everyday life, it just made me feel a little bit like, okay, I like what they did with it. I did really enjoy it. I did appreciate the fact that it wasn't the same, like I said before, but
yeah, I did
a bit of like another slavery. Like, when will we ever not have a film about slavery? But
that's our history, girl.
But we don't come
from history. They're not teaching the kids history. So this is the history they're gonna see.
No, but we don't come from slavery, which is what frustrates me. So show me something before that.
We don't come from slavery.
In the sense of, we were human beings before that, but our history was wiped out. So all they know is black people were slaves and then they've become X, Y, and Z. We weren't born, the black people who were.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
That depicts us in our true
nature. That's what I mean. Yeah.
Before the white man
left. But we can never.
So for the young generation, all they think about when they think is you were plucked from Africa in a ship and slave. And then they don't know the real history of Africa, the real history of. Or the kings that were before, that's why it's important. That's why sometimes I get annoyed at black African American movies in Nollywood, because I feel like that platform can be used to actually teach our kids, but no one's teaching it. Like, I mean, for my ones, I let them watch cartoons like Bino and Fino that visit different African countries and tell you a bit about the history. That's all the kids have. But for the teenagers, there's no proper movies and things reflecting history. So like, we have things like the King's Speech. It's given them their history. Like, where is our one? Where is all the kings and the queens that we have in Africa, in our past, and the president story, have we ever really seen a proper movie of Kwame Nkrumah? Do you see there's all these little things, I'm like, it can actually be done, but they're not going to do it. So why don't we do it on our platform? Instead, we're seeing things like, I know it's a reality show, but things like Real Housewives, that's what money is being spent on. And it annoys me sometimes. It really does. Because I'm like, I want to have a movie night where I'm showing my kids the history, not watching Coming to America, where they're doing things that we don't do in Africa. Like, so it annoys me. That's
the same. That's why we've, obviously Black Panther was far-fetched, but it was a positive Black film for a change. It wasn't about drug dealing and all that other stuff. It was like a nice take on what Africa can be like and what apartheid. So yeah, that's why for me, I avoid films to do with slavery and like certain things like that, because I don't like how I then I'm left to feel. Like, I don't like it.
What are you supposed to do about it? You're left to feel angry. Yeah, there's nothing for you to do about it.
Yeah, I just hate. I end up hating people for a while, and then I'm like, okay, obviously, get over it. But then,
maybe those films are thought provoking and pull out your heartstrings so that we do something about it.
They're meant to keep us at a level. They're meant to remind us. Why are they remaking 12 Years a Slave? Why are they remaking all these films? It's just to remind us where we come from. If it becomes a programming thing, it's a continuous.
It does to a degree. Yeah, you're right. Again, quite controversial, you guys might beat me up or whatever, but it depends on your mindset. You can look at those movies and you can say, oh my gosh, why are they doing this and blah, 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 and get angry. Or you can look at those movies and be like, no, I am going to be a positive role model for the young Black people around me, and I'm going to show them something different. You can leave your own legacy. You know,
yeah, you can, but you don't need to watch those films to do that, though.
Yeah, say that again.
I said you can, but you don't need to watch those films to do that.
That's true, because if you think about it, it's happening anyway. These things are happening for you too.
But to your point is, when you do watch those movies, it's on you it's on you how you feel about it at the end. Don't get me wrong, you will feel angry, you will feel upset, but are you going to be in that slave, or are you going to still have that slave mentality in your head? Are those movies still going to keep you in a place where you're going to feel below standard?
No.
Is that movie going to propel you? That's what I'm saying. Because
not to keep you below standard, it's to keep you angry about what's happened. So you leave feeling frustrated and angry.
How you feel, whether it's to keep you angry or
having that with you, though, that's what I mean.
It's about, I guess it's about you as an individual. Like, I watch those movies and I'm like, okay, similar to you, it's another slave movie, blah, blah. I do feel upset a little bit, but then I start thinking, I need to do something to change this. What can I do within my community? Or what legacy can I leave my kids and future generations that they're going to look at and be like, oh, okay, actually, there is another film, or there is another book or something out there that is contrary to what I've just watched. Do you know what I mean? Sometimes these things actually push me or propel me to think about doing something different. Does that make sense? So again,
I get where you're coming from, what you're saying.
All I'm trying to say is, when you watch a program, it's up to you, the individual, to change your mindset. Yes, they may want us to remember and keep us at a level and keep us angry, but we don't have to be. If you know someone's pushing your buttons, you're allowing them to push your buttons, but you have the opportunity to change.
I just avoid anything negative in that sense, because I'm not going to sit down and say to my son, let's watch 12 Years a Slave. I don't want to do that. I wanted to show him, he's asking about what's Africa like. He wants to know, obviously. Yeah. I hate Africa, because obviously this is a continent, but it's more educating them in the positive light, rather than, well, we were once slaves and this is what happened to us. Yes, teach them about those things, but it's continuous all the time. That it's just like, even with the whole gangsters and drugs and all that storyline, it's played out, we get it. So it's just like, let's have more positivity that portrays us in a positive light.
Well, that was
provoking. Sometimes I honestly don't think that these films are for us. I think they are actually made for the white man. Sometimes to see...
Of their power that they still think they have.
I think it's more of what you did.
Well, again, I don't think somebody that is racist, I don't think they're going to watch 12 Years a Slave purely because they're racist.
No, they will. Pure enjoyment.
Oh my God.
That's porn for them, mate.
they would literally be like, come on, lads. honestly.
Come on, lads.
I think
only way they can relive it.
I think certain films are made to highlight the issues amongst the white people. And I think some white people, the white people that are not racist, are, and you know what, let's not say white people. Okay, when we talk about racism against blacks, it is
predominantly white people against
blacks. And if we're talking about slavery, yes, it was the British and the American whites that enslaved the black people. But I think when filmmakers make certain films about slavery, sometimes I think it's to highlight the issue amongst the white people. And they want to highlight, actually, they have to tell it in an historic way, but they want to highlight, actually, this is wrong. So some people watching it will be like, oh my gosh, are these what my ancestors did to black people? And it's actually quite wrong. And they're trying to educate them to see actually what you did was wrong, your thought process is wrong. And then we get us who are angry, us black people that are angry and continuously think, oh, why are we watching this? You see what white people did to us, blah, blah, blah. And then we go on a defense. So sometimes the films are not necessarily there to remind us about...
No, I don't think that either, but this is my assumption. I don't think white people will look at it and think, oh, I feel really bad, let me go and make 10 black friends. I don't think they take anything like that from it either.
Assumption, right? Yeah.
No, that's what I say, my assumption.
Yeah, so that have been with a white person that has been in their own bubble, and some of them don't even believe racism happens. Some of them don't understand the allowance slavery was years, it was ages ago. We think people need to just move on from it.
Remember when Kim from Real Housewives was like, slavery doesn't even exist anymore? And everyone was like,
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. That's why I agree with T when she says these movies are kind of made for these people to remind them that, look, it actually did happen. The fact that you think we're not 100% in a racist world anymore doesn't mean that there hasn't been some generational, not injury, but some impact trauma. Black people, some trauma on black people some of them are still reliving that, because there are still some people that are racist. So I feel like, yes, it is to open these people's eyes. And some people see it and they're like, oh, wow, I didn't actually realize this is how bad it was. And yes, some of those people annoy me, but it is to educate these people sometimes. And it's annoying, and I'm agreeing with Pete. I don't really want to do any more slavery movies, because at the end of the day, if you really wanted to learn about racism, wanted to learn about black history, there's Wikipedia. There's loads of things. Like, you can get into loads of old movies made already. My issue is there's loads of already old movies made. There's so many slavery movies made that there doesn't need to be any more made. We don't need any more made. So,
all right, guys. So episode 9 in the bag. One more and then we're on the season 2 break. I hope you have been watching all our episodes so far. If not, check us out on YouTube. You can listen to us on Anchor, Spotify, Google Play, and all that jazz. And yeah, hit us up for any questions. Don't forget to like and subscribe, and we will see you next week. Bye.
Bye.